The Pesukim in Shlomo Melech makes a very careful distinction between Tzchok and Simcha. Most people don't realize there's a big difference between laughing and between being happy. Okay, laughter is not happiness. Laughter is a certain psychological state. Laughter is a certain psychological release of energy. It's a release of energy in a pleasurable way. That's really what laughter is. Simcha is really, that's more of a superficial kind of a psychological phenomenon. It's a burst of energy that's attached to some pleasurable idea. That's what laughter is. But happiness is an internal, is more of an internal state. Okay, we'll see what exactly it is. But really, it's very interesting. I mean, this Chazal over here, this Chazal, more than any other, I think, is really sets forth the whole psychology of Yahadus. Very, very interesting. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, so the Gemara says, so you have a contradiction, because on the one hand he says v'shibachti in esa simcha, okay, that he prays simcha. Simcha is a great thing, and on the other hand he says ula simcha mazo osa. What does it mean ula simcha mazo osa? Simcha, what does it do? What does it mean? What does it do? It means it's a frustration. It's a frustration. That's what it means. Ula simcha mazo osa means, literally, it means, he's saying that happiness is a state of frustration. It doesn't do anything. It leaves a person in a state of frustration. So it's an interesting statement. What Shlomo Melech is basically saying is that what the whole world is looking for, what we call happiness, is nothing more than frustration. L'simcha mazo osa, state of frustration. Okay, so, but it's a contradiction, because on the one hand he says it's a good state, he praises happiness, on the other hand he says that happiness is frustration. So the Gemara says like this. Gemara answers it. Gemara says that l'lametcha, he says, v'shibachti simcha shel mitzvah, u'l'simcha mazo osa is zu simcha she'ena shel mitzvah. Okay, well, what exactly does it mean? I mean, what exactly does it mean? So the Gemara says l'lametcha. The Gemara elaborates on this idea. L'lametcha, to teach you. She'ein shchina shora. Lo mitoch atzvos, v'lo mitoch atzlus, v'lo mitoch schok, v'lo mitoch kalas rosh, v'lo mitoch sicha, some say v'lo mitoch simcha, two gersos. V'lo mitoch dvarim betelim. Okay. Ela mitoch dvar simcha shel mitzvah. All right. So it's an interesting chazal. I mean, what do chazal say? Lo mitoch this, lo mitoch. Why do they give this whole list? But the answer is that basically in this chazal, they've put together every possible human state, psychological state. It's an interesting thing. Lo mitoch atzvos, lo mitoch atzlus, schok, kalas rosh, sicha, and dvarim betelim. It's amazing. It's as if Chazal just prepared a list of every possible psychological state of man. So what exactly are these states? Let's take them one by one. First one is atzvos. Atzvos is depression. You see, from atzvos you could know what we mean by simcha, because it's the opposite. Okay. What is atzvos? Atzvos and simcha are both tied to the same thing, but they're opposite sides of the coin. Okay, it means like this. It means that, and basically, it's essentially what Kehelis is all about, because Kehelis is about human ambition, the ambitious drive in man. So when the ambitious drive in man is thwarted. Okay, is thwarted, that man is unable, he feels he's unsuccessful, he's unaccomplished. His ambition has failed. So that's atzvos. That's depression. It means to say that, and in depression, essentially, the essential characteristic of depression is that there's no more forward flow of psychological energy. See, because he's a failure. He's failed. So Atzvus is really the counterpart, the opposite of Simcha. In Simcha, the person feels good about himself. That is Simcha. So in both cases, it's the same object. The object is the self. But in one case, the person feels satisfied with himself. So he feels Simcha. He's successful. He has a moment. A person, when he has Simcha, is in a moment of success. He's achieved his goal. He thinks about himself, and he feels very happy about himself. That's Simcha. That's really what the world is looking for. I mean, the world is looking for, that's what we in our society call happiness. It means when a person feels that his ambitious drive has been satisfied. It doesn't matter what that drive takes on. I mean, it could take on anything almost. It could take on being a good comedian. It could take on being a good businessman. It could take on being a good baseball player. It doesn't matter what it takes on. But whatever it takes on is irrelevant. That's dependent upon the personality and the situation and a lot of factors. But there's still one common denominator, that the ambitious drive has been satisfied. So he feels good. That's simple. In Atzvus is exactly the opposite. In Atzvus is whatever that person has taken on as the element of his ambition, he's failed. He thinks about himself and he fails. That's Atzvus. Yeah. See, the enjoyment that a person gets out of an activity is pleasure. In other words, if a person is enjoying playing tennis, he gets pleasure. When he wins the game, he's happy. Okay? Two different states.
Reflection on the self.
The ambitious drive. I mean, basically, Kehelis. The whole Kehelis is about the ambitious drive of man. That's the whole Kehelis is about the most central theme. If you wanted to choose a theme of man, what is the essence of man? What is man striving for? His ambitious drive. And what does he contemplate as the end of this goal of his? Happiness. Happiness means that he will be happy about himself. He feels he's an accomplished person. To walk around, think about himself, and be very happy. That's what the world is looking for. The only problem is, Shlomo Melech points out that's not possible. Because when a person reaches that state, the state only lasts for a certain amount of time, and then as happy and as successful as he is, it's always ulasimcha maza osa. It always leads to frustration. After that, he can think about himself. I one time saw, I read about a person that was very unsuccessful, and they encountered immediate success. So very sudden success. So they asked that person, well, what was it like? So they said, for 4 days, they just went around thinking about themselves. And then it became like an obsession. They couldn't think about anything else other than their success, and it became a painful kind of psychological state. So that's basically Shlomo Melech. Simcha maza osa. Now, what the world is looking for, the world's making a big mistake, because they're looking for a sense of satisfaction from their ambitious drive. But Shlomo Melech says that state that the world calls happiness is frustration. Atzvus, however, is a different state. Atzvus is where the person has failed and feels completely unsuccessful. Again, it doesn't matter what the amazing thing about man is, it does not matter what the person takes on. A person can take on the silliest thing, and they could be successful. They could decide that they want to be an expert marksman. So what value is it? No value. But if they hit the target, and in their mind they've become successful at their ambition, they'll be very happy. Okay. That's really, by the way, that's really another pasuk in Kehelis. Gamesa olam nosan b'libo. That's an amazing human phenomenon, which means that God put the world in a man's soul. What does it mean to put the world in a man's soul? And it means that a human being is capable of taking almost anything and making it into the whole world. Okay? You'll see, for instance, if a person plays a game. A person will play a game of tennis. Doesn't matter what he is. He could be the wealthiest, he could be the poorest, doesn't matter. But at that moment, the tennis game is the whole world. He has the ability to take this thing, as silly and as nonsensical as it is in reality, but he could make this into the whole world. Once he makes this into the world, then his ambitious drive becomes locked into it, and if he's successful, he's extremely happy, like he won the whole world, and if he fails, he's going to be, I don't care what other success he has in his life, at that moment, that framework that he establishes becomes his whole world, he'll either be very happy, or on the contrary, if he meets with unsuccess, he'll be extremely depressed. That's an amazing thing. Of course, I mean, you could really sum up the whole of Yadus almost with that idea of Gamas Olam Nasan Balibam, because what it means is that there is only one real world out there. You see, and that's the world that a person experiences before God. That's the only real framework. But a person, that's why it's called the Olam, because there is a reality, a real world. But it means the tzaddik, the real chacham or the navi, the difference between him and between everybody else is that his Olam, his subjective framework, is the real framework. You see, that really, if you wanted to say briefly, the difference between a tzaddik and the chacham and everybody else, it is the subjective olam is in line by the tzaddik, it's in line with the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is God's world. So that's really the concept of tefillah. That's why the concept of tefillah is omer lefnei Hashem, and it means that three times a day the person must remove himself, because during the day he places himself in all kinds of frameworks, whether it's business or whatever it might be. But that becomes his framework, and in that framework, he rates himself, you see. But there really is only one real framework, and that's Yedias Hashem. That's Dalef Nemiyat Omer. So tefillah is reality. Tefillah is the framework of reality. That's the real Olam. And that's really the mitzvah of tefillah. Tefillah is really the ultimate metaphysical activity. That's what tefillah is. Tefillah is the ultimate metaphysical activity. It's the activity of the soul of the true metaphysician. That's what tefillah is. Yeah, that's why tefillah is so important. That's why, by the way, okay. But anyways, I don't want to get started. Okay, let me get back to this. So that's the first one. So the first one is atzvas, and atzvas, the individual, is in terms of his ambitious drive, he's depressed. Why is he depressed? Because he failed. Okay. Now let's take the next one. Atzlus. Long we talk atzlus. What is atzlus? What is laziness? Other than laziness, I mean, a person's lazy. I mean, if he's a lazy person, then it should say velo otzer. It doesn't say he's a lazy person. It's speaking about a person who could even be on the level where he's roi von avur. Because this Maima Chazal is talking about, it says, the Shechina is not Shorah mitoch Atzlus. So that means that Atzlus as a state, you see. Atzlus is a state. So what does it mean, Atzlus? It means like this. See, in Atzlus, there's no such thing as real laziness. Laziness is a misnomer. Because either you want to do something, or you don't want to do something. The person's not, no person is genuinely lazy. Because if a person has before him an activity that's pleasurable, that's exciting, I mean, he's not going to be lazy. So what is the... So and if it's not, so then he doesn't want to do it. So either he wants to do it or he doesn't want to do it. What is the concept of laziness, okay? But the concept of laziness is really a conflicted state. In laziness, a person is in a state of conflict. It means that one part of him wants to move ahead and do it, but there's a counterforce that's stopping him. You see? That's when he's lazy. You see? That's why when people say, don't be lazy, do it. Laziness is not a state per se. It means that the person, for instance, realizes that he should be doing this, okay? So his ambitious drive tells him he should be doing it, but there's a lot of pain involved, so he has a conflict, so he doesn't do it. He postpones it. He's caught in a state of conflict. That's atzilus. Laziness is not a real state. It's a state that results from two conflicting emotions. See, one emotion wants to do it, one emotion does not want to do it. That's atzilus. So you have like this. So you have three states. You have either the person is happy about himself with his ambition, he is depressed because he's a failure, or else he's anticipating his successful state, but he's conflicted, so he can't move towards it. He postpones it. You see, that's the state of atzilus. Okay. Next state is v'lo mitoch schok. Okay, the Gemara says not mitoch schok. And then, yeah.
Going back to atzilus.
Okay. That could be. The counterforce could be anticipating failure. That's correct. He's not saying what the counterforce is. There could be a lot of counterforces. It could be he's unsure. He's envisioning perhaps failure, or it could be there's a certain painful process that he has to face in order to succeed in his ambition. Could be a lot of things, but the result is he's stalemated. You see, basically he can't move. Okay, that's atzilus. Okay. V'lo mitoch schok, and then you have two more. V'lo mitoch schok, v'lo mitoch kalas rosh. So it's interesting. Rashi explains it. He says like this. He says schok means schok mamish. She'ein das sochek miyusheves alav. Vafilu eino shel lotzon, he says. Mikol makom ein bo yishuv. Amazing Rashi, amazing Chazal. And he says, and Kalas Rosh, on the other hand, is Latzon. Latzonis. Now, what's the difference between these two, between Kalas Rosh and between Schok? So Rashi points out, you see, Rashi says that Kalas Rosh is Latzon. He says, but Schok, even though Schok is not Latzon, still the Shechina is not Shorer Mitoch that state. Schok Mama Shein Da Sochek Mivsheves Allah, Fila Eina Shel Latzon, Mekomaka Ein Bo Yishur. What he means is like this. You see, you have to understand first Latzon. What is Latzon? Latzon is like we said, if a person has a framework, and in that framework he sets up his goal. He sets up the goal for his ambition. But Latzon is jokes. Latzonus is where he laughs. He mocks. He mocks the ambition itself. In other words, he takes that framework and laughs at it because it's unreality, and he has a release. You see, he has a release. That's like that's why people like humor, because in humor you have a release from all the pain of the ambition, the ambitious drive. After all, exacts a certain tax. I mean, it has a certain. It has a certain payment that the individual has to pay for, so it involves a certain pain in the pursuit of the ambition. In a joke, the person laughs at the whole thing. The whole thing is and the energy that was formerly trapped in the ambition is released, and he laughs at it. And he experiences a certain pleasure, you see. But Latzon is where the person attaches a certain idea to it. That's what Rashi means. Kalas Rosh is Latzon. It means that it's attached to a certain humor, for instance, is attached to a certain idea that makes him laugh at the whole thing, you see. And then the release comes out through the laughter, you see. But that's where it's a tie. The Kalas Rosh is. Kalas Rosh means where you experience laughing based on a certain idea. But Rashi says that Chazal split that up into two categories. One is Schok, and Rashi says Vafilu Eino Shel Latzon Schok Mamish She'ein Da Sochek Miyoshev Aslo. It means where the person is jovial. He's in a jovial, happy framework. What people would call, oh, he's a happy guy. So he's that type of a person, a happy guy. It means that he's not thinking in specific about any particular thing, but he's in a kind of a, in a jovial framework, you see. Now, what is that jovial, what is that jovial framework, that tzchok, the laughter? The tzchok really comes from a, the tzchok really comes from a certain state where he's predisposed towards the pleasure, you see. It doesn't have to be taught. It's, in other words, it's a mood. The difference between tzchok and between kalas rosh is kalas rosh is where a person, like for instance, is engaged in humor, is laughing at a joke. So it's the idea of the joke that really that really makes him feel that pleasure, you see. In tzchok, it is not tied to a specific ideational content, you see, but it's simply what we call a mood. See, a happy mood, a jovial mood. It means that the energies are predisposed towards that type of a release, but it's not a momentary attraction of the mind to a specific ideational content of a joke, laughing at reality, you know, grabbing onto something that makes a person laugh about reality. You see, that's a different kind of an experience. Over here, it's an internal mood. The same, it's a deeper thing. It's a mood where he's predisposed towards a jokey kind of a framework. You see. But it doesn't. It's an internal phenomenon, rather, as opposed to Kalas Rosh, where it's an external ideational content that draws him to the laughter. So he doesn't need that. That's what Rashi is saying. See, it's interesting. Rashi says Schok. He says Schok Mamish. Why she'ain das sochek miyushevas alav vafilu eno shel lotzon. It's not because he's see by Lotzon, it's certainly the person is doesn't have Daitam Yeshevas. But over here, what Rashi's pointing out is that the person in the jovial mood is not truly happy. It's only one component of his nature that is being engaged. You see, that's the happy mood. The jovial person is predisposed. He looks like a happy guy. People say, oh, he's a happy guy. But it's ain Daitam Yeshevas. Because really, it's the internal energy is predisposed towards the laughter, you see, but there's another side of him that is not being satisfied, another side of him that's not happy. So the overt personality expresses the jovialness and the jokiness and the laughter, but underneath there's a side that is in a state of frustration, because you understand why that has to be. Because it really is the jovialness is the laughing at the ambition. So the ambition carries a price because it's very serious and very entrenched and it demands a lot of energy. And the jovialness is where he's a happy guy, nothing bothers him, he doesn't care. He lost money, it doesn't bother him. You see, that's a happy type of guy, jovial. He's laughing, he's happy. But the thing is, this laughter is on the outside it appears as happy, but that's what Rashi's saying. But ain't daitel miyushevas love, because there's another component inside him that simultaneously is in a state of frustration, and that's the ambitious side. See, because the only thing in the joke and between the tzchok is that in the joke, as we said before, it's a certain ideational content that grabs him and allows him to just laugh at everything. Lotzonus, you see? And that, in that case, that's what Rashi says, in that case, of course, you can't consider him in a good state, because it's a momentary attraction to that enlists the energy. But the gavra himself, a moment later, he's going to be depressed, you see? But even tzchok, which is a mood, which is a mood, so it would seem to be more of a permanent kind of a thing, because a person could always be that way. See, people that are predisposed, there are many personalities that are structured that way. They're always happy, always joking around. See? So that's a predisposition towards the laughing at the ambitious drive, you see? But that's what Rashi says. That's even that kind of a state is not good, because underneath there's a part that's enemy of Shevis, a part that's unsatisfied. You see, that's what Rashi is explaining here. Okay, yeah. Yeah, the schok is the opposite of the ambitious drive. She says so far, the way Chazal have traced the ambitious drive is in the following possibilities. Either satisfaction, or else unsuccessful and depression, or else the third state is, that's two. The third state is the conflicted state, Atzlus. He has ambition, but he's conflicted. The fourth state is where he laughs at the whole thing. He just release all the energy is wrapped up in the ambitious drive, which has a high price to it, is just released. And then there could be two of those states. One is where there's not a particular ideational content that attracts him and gives him the release, you see, which is a momentary phenomenon. And then there is a mood, a general mood. Most people would like to have that mood. Say, hey, he's a happy guy. Why can't you be a happy guy like that? It means that's the state in which the individual is predisposed, you see, towards the laughing at the ambition. But nevertheless, what Rashi is explaining is that, but underneath is ein gaitam yeshevas. That is not a good state. That is also not a good state. Okay. All right, so I see you don't have to worry why you're not happy. Now, so...
why are we laughing?
It's everyone is a particular form of a human state, psychological state. Yeah, that's exactly what Chazal is saying. That in reality, one is no better than the other. That in reality, they're all, every one of them is not the state. They're not trying to evaluate. You see, I want you to understand something. In each one, there's an advantage and a disadvantage. You have to understand something. It's not, in other words, most people are like looking for happiness. They want to take one state and say, this is it. You see? What Chazal is doing, they're analyzing it. I'll give you an example. Atzvos. You'll say, Atzvos is terrible because the guy is in total depression. Yeah, but the truth of the matter is, most people are never in reality as much as when they're in Atzvos. It's true. Because when they're in Atzvos, there's a total depression of the ambitious drive, and they see reality. They see themselves clearly. They see others clearly. So every state, you understand, that's why did Chazal have to say, lo mitoch Atzvos? Why would I think that Atzvos is good? No, because Atzvos has a certain good component to it also. The person in Atzvos is in a certain reality. I mean, he sees his ambition as nonsensical, and he's humbled, and he's in a certain state. So maybe you think that's the state. Atzvos. Nope, that's no good either. You see? Simcha is a psychological plus. Because the guy's very happy about his ambition. He feels great. You see? Nope, that's no good either. Okay? That's a simcha maza also. That's frustration. Then you have the state where he's atzlos, he's conflicted. He's conflicted. So that's Atzlus. Maybe you'll say that's good because he's not engaged in unreality, and yet he recognizes it to a certain degree. No, that's conflicted. That's no good either. And then you have the two states where the person actually is very in a pleasurable state, very pleasurable, but underneath it's ein daitam yeshevis, and there's two forms of that: either because he's attracted to a certain idea, or because of a mood. You see, schok is a mood. So either a mood or an idea. Okay. So now we go on further. So he says, yes. Now he says, v'lo mitoch sicha. Here you have two girsos, by the way. One is sicha and one is simcha. Okay. I think they're both right. I mean, they both have an element here. Sicha, what is sicha? Sicha is an interesting thing. Sicha means when you're conversing with someone. You see, when you have a friend and you're communicating with a friend, that's really the social satisfaction. You see, how does that fit into the picture? I'll tell you why. Because the ambitious drive really has an objective. It's true that ambition, as we said before, any framework you take is the ambitious drive, and the objective, the force of the ambitious drive is to reach a success, you see. But the fact is that success, what does that success give the person? It gives the person a feeling of self-worth. Self-worth. He's accomplished. It could be haughtiness, self-worth, but those kind of things are really very closely related. Okay? But the sikha is where you have a friend, where you have the social satisfaction. And the social satisfaction is also an attainment of the ambitious drive. Because the ambitious drive really ultimately gives a person a feeling of self-worth. I think that most people are ambitious not because they've chosen, not because they've chosen a particular thing and said this is very worthwhile. Of course, the person will always try to take that thing which is most worthwhile in his mind. But you see that, as we said, gamma sa'olam nasam belibam, a tennis game could also become the whole world, and that becomes very worthwhile, you see. The reason why most people are ambitious, is not because of that which they've chosen, but because of the pain, avoiding the pain of feeling a sense of unworthiness, worthlessness. You see, that's a very painful state in man, to feel that he's worthless. No one cares about him. He's a zero. He's nothing. No accomplishments in life. Did nothing. It's not so much that a person wants ambition. A person is trying to avoid that state. It's a frightening state where a person feels he's absolutely worthless. You see. That's why the ambition, you see, could choose almost anything. Why is it in man? It could take almost the craziest thing. He could decide to shoot at a target, and that's his ambition, and he's very happy. The answer is because he's trying to avoid a sense of worthlessness. I could do this well. At least I could do that well. You see, the person is trying to avoid that sense. That's a scary state of mind. Most people are propelled into ambition because they're trying to avoid that sense. Yeah. So in the social, you get it, because in sikha, when you converse with, you have a friend and you talk to a friend. So in sikha, you feel a certain sense of significance, of worthiness. Somebody cares about you. Somebody interacts with you. There's the social satisfaction. And the social satisfaction is a good feeling about the self. So again, it's another form that Chazal appointed, and that one has its advantages too. I mean, he's not engaged in crazy ambition, you see, and yet he's satisfying that part of himself and makes him feel good. He has a friend. He's engaging in conversation and sikha, you see. That is a good state. Well, I mean, for psychologically, it's a good state. But no, Chazal say that is not the state. That is not the correct state for man. Because the sense of worthiness is a contingent one. It's contingent upon the illusion of the other person. Even though the other person is really there, but the illusion is that I am worthwhile because this other person is willing to spend time with me. It's another individual, and the individual gives you the sense of worthiness. It's not any kind of reality. It's a social phenomenon that could take place between any two people on the planet in any framework possible, and the same emotion will be derived. That's the gisa we have, sikha. The other gisa was simcha. See, the other gisa was simcha. The gisa of simcha really is what we said before. See, the gisa of simcha is where the person, simcha means where the person has arrived at it's a different idea. The gisa of simcha is where the person has arrived at a reasonable balance between his ambitious drives and his frustration. That's somehow. This simcha is not the same as the simcha maza osa. The simcha maza osa means the ultimate, but the girsa that has simcha instead of sicha is referring to a different kind of a state. It's where simcha means over here, not where the person has achieved the goal and he's really happy about himself, but a different kind of simcha means where he's achieved a reasonable balance, you see, between his ambitious drives and his frustrations. He's happy. He's happy with himself. That's the other guess. I think both yourselves are interesting. But our guess is, the guess that we have is sicha. Sicha means it's the social support that makes a person feel good about himself. See, the other one is, the difference between our guess and the other guess is that our guess is saying that it's the friendship, the acceptance of other people, you see, whereas in simcha, he worked it out himself, kind of. He's a happy balance between his ambition and his things are in a good balance. A psychologist would call that a healthy state of mind, you see. That's the other gears of simcha. And, yes, yeah, so, and then the last one. V'lo mitoch dvarim
b'tehu.
Yes.
So what's wrong with that?
With what?
What would Chazal say about that state?
Which state?
The simcha state.
No, the reasonable balance.
Yeah.
No, they all have the same. They all have a problem, because every one of them is. You see, in the reasonable balance, the difference between the reasonable balance and between the case of schok is quite different. In schok, it's a mood. It's a mood. A person's in a certain good mood. In the simcha, it's deeper than a mood. It really is a personality trait already. It's his personality. You see, it's a personality phenomenon. There's three levels really. There's personality, there's mood, and then there is a state like a state of laughter, where a person is a state of humor. In humor, you're tied to an idea, and the idea causes a certain kind of a reaction, and you're in a certain momentary state. And a mood is deeper. A mood is a general feeling. But simcha, and according to that girsa, is really where the person has kind of reached an equilibrium, a balance in his life, a psychological balance. That's a far deeper kind of psychological phenomenon. See, but it's three tiers, three different levels, three different psychological states. According to that girsa, that's why they put in simcha. Our girsa, I think both are correct. I mean, I don't think it's a machlokes. Both of them make sense. And sicha is the enjoyment of sicha is the social enjoyment, the social state. Person's happy socially. See, that's sicha. If I had a choice, I would take sicha, because I think that's more of a qualitative phenomenon that it shouldn't be omitted. I mean, it's a you know. But in all of them, the whole personality is not truly engaged, because it's based on conflicting forces. See, conflicting forces. In the simcha case, he's arrived at a very good balance. The balance between the pain of pursuit of the ambition, the frustration, and then again the success. That's I would say, that's probably what the objective of a psychologist is, to get a person to that kind of a disposition. It's a disposition. That's the word. It's a disposition of the there's a disposition, there's a mood, and then there's a momentary kind of pleasurable sensation, psychological sensation. That's the difference between those three. Okay, yes. Now you have the last one. V'lo mitoch dvarim b'tehillim. Okay. What is dvarim b'tehillim? Okay. See, the problem is, like, when we're kids, we always get this muscle. Oh, don't waste time with dvarim b'tehillim. Yeah. We know what dvarim b'tehillim is. I mean, where is dvarim b'tehillim? But there's an interesting, the pasuk says, v'dibarta bom. And Chazal say, bom v'lo b'dvarim b'tehillim. So wasn't it just tam divrei musar? There's a lima there. I mean, how could you compare with the bata mum below with dvarim b'tehillim? I mean, there has to be some kind of some kind of an analogy, a similarity between the two. I mean, the Barta Bam, the Lobo Dvar Batel. Can't say Barta Bam, just really Barta Bam all the time. What's the exclusion of Dvar Batel? So apparently there's something in common between Dvar Batel and Divrei Torah.
Can everybody please shut off the mute button? We're getting reverberation back here.
So the Barta Bam doesn't mean the Barta Bam b'chol shah, b'chol ace. Chazal interpreted a deeper idea. The Dibarta Bam, if you put your energies into these things, the Lobid Vam Batalim. So apparently there's two frameworks. You have a choice where you could relegate your Dibor to these things, or you could relegate that same thing to Dvar Batalim. So what is Dvar Batalim? That's correct. Dvar Batalim is an intellectual activity. But the content, the framework, is worthless. That's what it means. That's Dvarim Batalim. There's Dvarim, and there's Dibur, there's the activity, there's the intellect that is engaged, but it's Dvarim Batalim. I give you an example, tic-tac-toe. You play tic-tac-toe, it's probably a reasonably intellectual game, or checkers, okay? Chess, or those are games, though, but I'm just using an example. But Dibur, the same thing is true about Dibur too. That you could, a person can analyze and think about things and analyze them, but if it's Dvarim Shel Mabekach, there's no purpose in it. It's purposeless. So it's just a useless activity. That's the Dibarta Bam, the low Dvarim Batalim. Most of the time, more sophisticated people, the Dvar Batalim is politics. Politics is Dvar Batalim. Why? Because if you're in a position to do something, okay, so then it's an important thing. It's a tikkun olam. But just the idle political speculation where there's no objective to it, that's Dvar Batalim. That's a waste of time. There's no purpose in it, you see. I'm not saying that there aren't instructive ideas in politics. Yeah, but the same subject matter could be, you could have a subject matter that has, when it's directed towards important things, so then it's not Dvar Batalim. But if it's just Stam, you discuss this one, that one, this, that's Dvar Batalim. You're using your intellect, you're using your mental apparatus. But this is for what? I mean, it's worthless. It's Dvar Batalim. Dvar Batalim. That's what the Rebbe one time said about Rav Chaim. He said that he used to, every now and then, he'd come out on his porch, and he'd take a look, and he'd say, what's happening in the world? I'd tell him a few things. Say, okay, go back inside. So, that's for the Barta Bam V'lo B'Dvar Batalim. You have to find out. It could be there's a situation arises that you have to do something. I mean, then it's not Dvar Batalim, of course. But Dvar Batalim, but if it doesn't, just stam idle speculation, it's Dvar Batalim. That's what the Barta Bam. Dvar Batalim doesn't mean the subject is stupid. That's shtus. That's what the Barta love Dvar Shel shtus. Dvar Batalim means it's intellectual. The person has the satisfaction, you see, that they're engaging in something which is Dvarim. The only thing is Batalim. There's no purpose in it. Right. It's purposeless and useless. The framework is purpose, but it gives a person a certain satisfaction because the satisfaction is that they're using their mental apparatus. I mean, they're using their intellect. They're speaking intelligently, you see, I mean, but it's Dvar Batalim. It's Dvar Batalim. There's no use for it. There's no Dvar Batalim could be in mathematics too. There are areas of mathematics where a person can spend their life, and it's Dvar Shel Mabekach. Who cares? What's the difference? So it's a tremendous amount of cheshbonos, but it's Dvar Batalim. You see, the real chacham knows how to isolate from the areas of knowledge and to take things from the areas and render them useful. I mean, in terms of applying them in a useful area and perfection of the individual, that's the Dibarta Bam, the Lobid Varmatel. But many things can be Dvarim Taim. You could spend your time in very brilliant analytical processes, but it's Dvarim Taim. It's a waste of time. You could spend your life thinking about solipsism, for instance, in philosophy. Solipsism. Is it true? Is it not true? Dvarim Taim. Waste of time. Dvarim Shel Mavakach. Absolutely worthless. So not everything in philosophy or in mathematics or in psychology as well. I mean, it depends. It depends what the every area could be. It depends if it has no value in terms of the person's life. It's just idle talk. You see, the subject matter, the particular subject matter, no matter what form it takes on, it's Dvarim B'Tehillim. There's no purpose, useless. But it makes a person feel good because he's using his intellect. See, that's the last one that Chazal have, where the first ones are all different expressions of the ambitious drive and different manifestations of it, you know. But this is a completely different one. See, this one, the last two, actually, the social is also has a certain qualitative element of difference, but this one is really qualitatively different. Because it's dibur, and it's even chachma, but it's dvarim b'tehillim. The dibur bam v'lovet dvarim b'tehillim. That's the last one. Okay, so Chazal say all of these things, every one of these states of psychological states, is ein shchina shara elo. But there is, so it looks like a man is hopeless. I mean, because he is psychological, and he has all these drives, and he is conflicted, and where is there, so perhaps there is nothing, there's no state. It's an interesting thing. You see, Chazal look at states. They're not talking about people, perfected people. Because every human being, no matter how perfected it is, that is the ultimate state. Okay? And that's what Chazal say. Chazal say, the only state is a state of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. That's what it's called. Simcha Shel Mitzvah. What do we know about this state? What exactly is it? I mean, it's not easy to dig it out. But we have a few references to what it is. So it says, Shenema, Vata kechuli menagin, v'hoya kenagin ha-menagin, v'ati olav yad Hashem. So what is that? Why is that a simcha shal mitzvah? I mean, he's listening to music. So Rashi says over there, you'll see the simcha shal mitzvah takes on different forms. For instance, Rashi says simcha shal mitzvah, so he says, gugan achnasas kala. Why gugan achnasas kala? Why do you isolate achnasas kala? A lot of mitzvahs. Why do you isolate that? He isolated that because he wants to show you that it's not just any mitzvah. It's not gugan atilas lulav. It's not the technical mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that somehow is tied to perfection. You see, intrinsically, because you're dealing with a psychological phenomenon. If there's a difference between a person getting happy about a technical mitzvah and achnasas kala. We'll see a little bit further, but that's like I just want to line up all the factors, the elements that lead us to an understanding of what this state is. Because this, according to Chazal, is the ultimate state in man. The ultimate state for man. And it's the state, because it's the state of Ashura Shechina. That's the ultimate state. But look what Chazal say about this state. It's an interesting thing. The Gemara says, V'chein l'dva halacha, the Gemara says, Amar Rava v'chein l'chalom tov, and also for a good dream. What is l'dva halacha? So Rashi says, Tzorach l'ftoach b'mili d'bedichus ha-bereisha. You should start learning with a joke. Mili de b'dichus, a joke. Amazing chazal. Start learning with a joke. And then lachalom tov, that's called, that joke is a simcha shal mitzvah. So already you have simcha shal mitzvah is, Rashi mentions gan achnasas kala, funny. Then you have the menagein music, but Rashi says, why is the menagein considered why is the menagein? Mitzvah hilashras al Hashchina, because he's doing it for the purpose of Ashura Hashchina. It's not the music itself. He's just doing it to enjoy music. That's not the simcha shal mitzvah. But he's doing it in order to have Ashura Hashchina. Funny thing, milsa de b'dichsa would also seem to be that way, because the joke that would seem to be different than simcha shal mitzvah achnasas kala, because achnasas kala is the simcha of the fact that you're doing that. You see, the simcha of the mitzvah itself. Over here, it seems to be a simcha that precedes the mitzvah. You see? The simcha that... what's that? No, it's a different joke. You see, that's an interesting thing. It's the same element. It's an amazing thing. It's the same. It's a joke, but it's a joke before learning. And that makes a simcha shal mitzvah. It's a different kind of thing. Instead of... It's been converted from schok to simcha shal mitzvah. And the same thing with music. Music would be... Perhaps what the other gears held was simcha, like a good balance, good mood, whatever you put into one of those things. But over here, he's doing it in order to achieve nevuah, in order to attain nevuah. That's already simcha shal mitzvah. Okay, and Rashi says tzorach. Interesting, Rashi. Rashi says tzorach lefsoach b'mili d'b'dichas b'reishi. You have to start off with a joke. Right, you have to be kind of prepared for a shiur. You got to prepare a good joke. Okay. Lachalam. There's a maimer of the Rambam in Mar Nevuchim. He says he had different maimer. They had a hard time tracing it, but he says ki avachal shira bana megirsayo. They'd say milsa debdichso when they got tired from learning, so they'd say a joke. That was also the same idea. But Rashi says sarach leftoch, because the Al Gemara doesn't talk about it. Al Gemara talks about before. So, but at any rate. The next one is extremely interesting. It says lachalom tov, a good dream. So in a minute, what's a good dream? So Rashi says in bol lishon mitoch simcha, if the person goes to sleep from that simcha, from that state of simcha shal mitzvah, marin lo chalom tov. So they show him a good dream. Good dream. Yeah, that statement is a very, very important statement. What does that statement show you? What does the statement show you? See, once you're ready talking about dreams, it shows you that what Chazal is saying is that there is a certain deeply rooted state. This idea of simcha shal mitzvah is not just is different than everything else. It's not simply because it's a good thing, you see. But it has a different psychological hold on the person. In other words, it's more than just, you can't equate it with the other states. It's something different qualitatively, you see, because you see it affects the dreamer. It affects a person in the completely unconscious state of dream. That's what Chazal is saying. It's an amazing thing. What is that state? So the Gemara says, interesting, the Gemara says, V'amav gidlam arav, can you say that? V'amav gidlam arav, kol tam chachon sheyeshuf nei rabba v'ein sif sosov notfos mar techveno. That a person has to sit in front of his Rebbe, he has to be filled with emor. Okay? So how could you say this joke? Joking is the opposite. So the Gemara gives two answers. The Gemara says, Hoba rabba v'abba Talmud. He says, one is for the Rebbe, the Rebbe can do it, but not the Talmud. And the Bayasim Ahova Baraba. Velo Vukasha. Homikamad liftach on the bus of the Pasach. So the Gemara says that in other words, one is before the learning, one is after the learning. Okay. Yeah, Kihad the Rabba, Mikame the Pasach Lula Rabbanon, Oma Milsa the Bdichasa, Ubadhi Rabbanon. Lesof Yosef Beimso, Upasach Beshmaitza. So it's an interesting, it's a transition, the Gemara is saying. I know is that in the beginning you can make a joke, but then they sat Bema. It's an interesting thing. So what is this state that Chazal are pointing out, this state of Simcha Shal Mitzvah? You see, I mean, the from the joke, the Chazal said this was a common thing. So you see from the joke, what does it mean? It means, see, Rashi says, Ubadchi Rabbanon, he says, Niftach Libam Machmas Asimcha. Their hearts, their emotions were opened up because of the Simcha. So what Chazal is saying is like this, really. And that's really the main example, because the thing is that I don't think it's possible to have such a state in a person that's an Am Haaretz. You see, that's what Chazal mentioned. In other words, a person that's an ignoramus will never experience the state. Because he's going to be in either one of the other states. But he could never be in a Simcha Shel Mitzvah. The Simcha Shel Mitzvah, the state of the Simcha Shel Mitzvah, is a state where a person perceives. You see, let me put it this way. The Simcha Shel Mitzvah is not the case of enjoying the learning. We mentioned that at the outset. It's not the enjoyment of learning. There is a tremendous enjoyment in learning. Ain't Simcha Katarsis Fekas, Rabban says. It's the greatest enjoyment, because all your energy is engaged and the ideas are every idea is an adventure and an unbelievable experience, and the solutions is the greatest enjoyment a human being can experience. It's the essence, his very essence is engaged. But that's a different kind of a state. That's not Simcha Shel Mitzvah. It's an interesting thing. You would think that would be the state for Nevuah. Nope, that's not the state for Nevuah. That's a certain tremendous enjoyment of Chochma, the Hanoas HaChochma, The Rambam mentioned Hanoas HaChochma. But the Anos HaChochma is not the same as Simcha Shel Mitzvah. See? The Simcha Shel Mitzvah is one step before. The Simcha Shel Mitzvah is where the emotions anticipate the enjoyment and feel a state of happiness and attraction to it. You see? That's a different kind of a state. See, in the learning itself, that's a phenomenon. That's where the mind is engaged, is the energies are involved and they're engaged. It's a different kind of it's an experiential state. It's an experiential state. Okay? But it's not a state, you wouldn't call it a state of happiness, because the person is gone. There's no person. When a person is engaged, truly engaged in thought, there's no person anymore. The only thing that the mind perceives is the idea. The mind is entranced by the ideas, and all energies are concentrated in the area of thought, of thinking. But there is that wouldn't be considered a happiness state, because the self is not is completely disengaged. You're disengaged from the self totally. In Simcha Shel Mitzvah, the person is not disengaged from the self. It's an interesting thing. The self is there, but it's the self, insofar as the happiness of the anticipation of the Chochmah. See, that's why the Milsa of the B'dicha Sekarim Alimud. It means it's the joke. The joke releases the energy, you see, and now the individual is excited, is anticipating the activity of the Hanas HaChachma. It's really the state of the anticipation of that. In that state, Chazal found, in that state of mind, the ultimate state of a human being. See, insofar as he's an Adam, you see. I'm not talking about in learning, the person is disengaged from the self. Over there, it's completely involved in the thinking and in the pursuing the idea. He's not even thinking about the enjoyment. He's just pursuing the idea. The enjoyment is an attending reality. You see, it goes along because it's enjoyable, the pursuit and the kasha, the answer, everything's enjoyable. There's an attendant pleasure involved in the activity. But the self is completely removed. But Chazal found a psychological state of self that they consider the ultimate state. And that is when the individual's energies are not tied to ambition at all, but they're anticipating the reality of Chachma. See, they're anticipating the reality and the engaging in the Chachma, and they feel a tremendous sense of pleasure, a pleasurable sense. And Chazal maintain, what Chazal is saying is, in so many words, but they're saying, that is the one state in which the person is not conflicted. There's no conflict. You see, that is the most harmonious state. It's the harmonious state, the harmonious, most harmonious state for man in this existence. That's the Simcha Shel Mitzvah. His soul is in a state of harmony. Everything is, he doesn't feel a sense of worthlessness. He doesn't care about his status, doesn't bother him. He's looking forward to a certain experience, you see, and a world lies in front of him, and he feels and his lev is pasuach, ready to be engaged in that world. That's the joke. See, the joke, like Rashi says, releases the energy, and the energy is now in a state of anticipation, and the person, the dynamics of the mind now are not in any kind of conflict. See, it's a harmonious state. And the same thing is true with the Navi when he anticipates Nevuah. You see, he's in the most harmonious state. And the same thing, and that's why Chazal say V'chein l'chalom tov. Very important maimar. It means to say, because dreams are really an expression of the dynamics of the unconscious. And it shows you that what Chazal held is that this state engages the dynamics of all the psychological energy. And because of that, he will have a good dream, you see. It affects, it draws on all the energies. It's the harmonious state of the soul. That's what Chazal is saying in the concept of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. It's a different dynamics and a different dispensation of psychological energies in the state of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. There's no element of accomplishment. I'll tell you. It's a very good question you're asking. But the answer is, I think the answer is what we said before. Gam es ha'olam nasan b'libam. It means to say like this, that in the ambitious drive, the framework is grabbed onto It doesn't matter what it could be. It could be he's a great philosopher, he's a great mathematician, he's a great Talmud Chacham, he's a great this, he's a great that. All of these things are all the same. That means he's just taking a framework. There's no difference in taking a framework of being a great philosopher or being a great tennis player. And so far as this is concerned, he's grabbing onto a framework for the because of the ambitious drive. But in this case, the ultimate framework is what presents itself to him, you see? And it's the presence of the ultimate framework that draws all the energies. And there's no and there's no feeling of unsatisfaction, worthlessness, because all these things are nonsensical. And they all vanish and dissipate. And the only thing that his energies are directed to is the reality of the true framework of reality. And that anticipation, that sense, that perception, and that anticipation is the ultimate state in where there is no conflict. The person is not conflicted at all. It's an interesting concept. But that's what Chazal are. That's the concept of a nevuah. That is the state in which nevuah is shorah. So you see, when is nevuah shorah on man? When man is in a state of harmony, in a harmonious state.
Okay.
You brought up a good point.
You brought
a very good point. But you see, that's exactly where Milsa the Bedichasa comes in. Because Milsa the Bedichasa is a joke. See, a joke is the opposite, is the antidote to the ambitious drive. You see? A joke is the antidote to the ambition. That's what a joke is. You saw you had a bad day, you weren't successful, a joke. Huh. That's it. Forget about it. It's all nonsense. You see? So it's interesting that the Milsa the Bedichasa, the joke over here, Chazal was saying that the joke that anticipates the learning is very good, because that joke is the antidote to the ambitious drive, and it releases the energy. And if you capture that energy at that moment in the anticipation of the enjoyment of the learning, and in going into the world, the true world of true perception, that is this. Then the soul is in a state of harmony. See, then the soul is in a state of harmony. That's what Shlomo Melech said. The simcha maza osa is ordinary happiness that people are looking for. But shibachti niyasa simcha, that's the real simcha. That's the simcha shalmitzvah. There is a harmonious state for man. But you see that yahadus doesn't look at human life in a simplistic way like most people do. You're a happy person, you're this person. Chazal isolates states. You see, even the Navi could be depressed. You see, of course, the greatness of the human being is dependent, like the Rambam says in his Hakdama to the Mora, on the oftenness, like he says, the lightning flashes. How the greater person has more lightning flashes. Till like Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole night is lit up by the consecutive flashes of Chachma. But the same thing is true. That's a different concept, you see. But over here, Chazal are not talking about the level of the person, you see. But that depends on how often these states exist. If a person spends, like I mentioned before, a person spends his life in Schok, so, but you see, but to be devoid of Schok, that was never an ideal in Chazal, to be devoid of schok. Ah, I don't laugh. I don't, no jokes. Because, see, in the contrary, milsa de b'dichas ha-kodom alimud. No, this is good. This is a psychological, this is a very good psychological thing, to be able to laugh at a joke. And the joke is good because it releases the energy. It's the antidote to the ambitious drive. Everything's nonsensical, and it throws you into the real framework. So a joke is very good. A person doesn't have a sense of humor, he can't really learn well. He can't be in a state of simcha. The Chazal never set up as an ideal. I mean, that's really the difference between the Das HaEmes, the true religion, and all other philosophical systems. See, where they try to set up a certain kind of a personality. You know what I mean? They concentrate on personality. He's a this, he's that. Chazal understood the dynamics of the human mind, psychological states, and they isolated the harmonious state is what a person should understand, not to try to take an individual and make him into something that he's not by simply obliterating his psychological forces and energies, and he'll become a malach. I mean, that's a nonsensical idea. But you see, even Chazal, mil sid b'dicha sekar amalimud, sitting down to learn, it's not easy to make the transition. You have to make a transition into learning. There's a method of doing it, using the psychological forces. You see, recognizing, understanding them, and using them to bring the person into the harmonious state. That's the philosophy of Chazal. Different kind of an approach. Yes. I'll tell you why. You see, let me put it this way. Maybe I can explain it a little bit differently. I mean, of course, you know, we're speaking about, you know, phenomena that are on a high level. I mean, but we're trying to define it. You understand? To make it accessible. You see, let me put it this way. When we mention in the ambitious drive of man, it's gamas olam nasam belibam. So the over there, the essential thing, the essential component is the ambition. Okay? But it grabs onto a framework in order to satisfy itself. And like we said, it can be any framework. But you see, it grabs onto a framework. You see, it does look for a world. Why? Because there is a part of man inside him that recognizes there is a framework. You see? The recognition of the framework in the human being cannot be obliterated, just like you can't obliterate the psychological drives, you can't obliterate the mind either. And a human being has to function as a combination, like Chazal say, of a malach and a behemah. I mean, there's instinctual and then a chachma is interwoven in a very complex kind of an entity. In a human being. So in the ambition, there are two elements. There's the recognition of an olam, you see, but of course, it'll choose an olam that'll be very very suited for the ambitious drive, you see. But in the simcha shel mitzvah, the predominance is the olam, you see, and the individual is engaging in the real olam. So it's I would say like this. If you want to draw a picture of it, you'd say that in the simcha ola simcha mazo osa framework, the essence is the ambition, and the olam is secondary. You see, but in the simcha shel mitzvah, the olam is predominant, and the individual's engaging is secondary. But it does engage the energies, but in a subordinate manner, in a subordinate way. But there is the satisfaction. There is the psychological satisfaction. You got the wrong one there? Which one? Oh, you see, it engages the ambitious drive in a strange way. But the ambitious drive is engaged. But the framework is the essence. And the ambitious drive, the energies are satisfied, but in a different, not in a content way, but in a psychological way. It's an interesting thing. You know who has this? The Rambam, actually. Because
the person totally involved in learning, there's no satisfaction at all at that moment, totally involved in himself.
Learning's complete. That's different. Learning is an experiential. And learning, I would say lahavdil, of course, but psychologically it would be similar to schok. Because it's the content which moves the mind and engages all the energies. You see? It's a content phenomenon. But it's not a disposition phenomenon. This simcha shel mitzvah is a disposition phenomenon. It's an amazing thing. I mean, when you think about it, the Chachmas HaTorah and the analysis of the human being, an amazing thing. You wouldn't go that way. If you're just trying the other systems, then you see we'll never hit this. It's a different kind of the approach is amazing. But I want to show you that what I'm saying is right to what I'm saying. That in the framework, in this phenomenon, where the framework is the essence, that the ambitious is also satisfied, not in a conscious way, you see, because but those drives are satisfied. Listen to the Rambam. Rambam says like this: the last Rambam Nachas Lulav. He says, "A simcha sheyismacha adam basiyas a mitzvah ba'avas akel shetzivu behen avod gedolahi v'chol hamoneya atzmo misimcha zu royally far mimenu." So you see, that's the state. This is simcha shel mitzvah. Shenem atachas shel avadas Hashem lekecha besimcha v'tuv levav. Doesn't mean like people can be happy. It means this simcha. Nadaram says v'chol hamegis daito v'chol lekavod laatzmo umiskabed be'enov bimkomos elu chote v'shote. He's a chote because he's taking something which was meant for another purpose and misusing it for his own instinctual drives. But is a shota because he's missing out on the true harmonious state of human existence. You see, that's the ambitious drive. That's the real individual that's worthy of true respect because he's existing as a human being was meant to exist in the most harmonious state. That's okay. Yeah. The reason I mentioned Achnasas Kal was because it's a, I believe the reason he mentioned it is a good question, Achnasas Kal. Why he mentions it is because of it's a mitzvah which brings to mind, you see, there's a Chazal say in Brachas, that a person kolanena misuras chasim eina masamcha. So it's over behei kolos. Chazal say a person is supposed to be misameach the chasim. But it's an interesting thing. How are you misameach the chasim? So not by dancing. It doesn't say by dancing. It says b'mili. What is b'mili? Because it says that if he does that, he's zocha to Torah, and kilu bona charevos Yerushalayim. What does Chazal mean? Is the take a look at the Mashov that explains very nicely. He says it means misameach v'chosin in a way that he realizes that he's engaging in tikkun olam, and tikkun olam is the kiyum olam. Kiyum olam is one of the biggest mitzvahs. Persons that's not osik and pirv rivyos, the Chazal says is a terrible thing because his whole philosophical system is awry. So it's kiyum ha'olam. That's why I believe Rashi mentions Achnasas Kala. It means that if the person perceives a simcha in when he envisions the kiyum ha'olam, the framework of kiyum ha'olam, and he perceives that as a simcha with simcha, that is a simcha shel mitzvah. That's a simcha shel mitzvah. But it's the same concept. Yes. Yeah, what it means, the Chalom Tov means like this. By the Chalom Tov means that this kind of a state of mind where the individual's energies are all channeled is not just, it's not a religious state, you understand? It's a state of a harmony of all the dynamics of the psyche. It's a perfectly harmonious state, you see.
That's the Chalom Tov.
And that's why it's Chalom Tov. Because it means that all the psychological energies are channeled now into a harmonious objective. Everything's in place. It is in a total state of harmony. You see, and that's why he'll have a good dream, because the dream is a result of the unconscious forces. And the reason why a person has bad dreams is because of the conflict. Because of the conflicts. It means that at this point he will not have a bad dream because the conflicted state has been removed. He's in a harmonious state. So the energies are anticipating a favorable kind of an outcome because it's a harmonious state. It affects the dream mechanism. That's what
Chazal says. Here's to tell you what produces that.
If that state of Simcha Shel Mitzvah precedes his sleep, you see, then he'll have a good dream. Okay. In the state of Simcha Shel Mitzvah, he's looking forward to engaging in the Chachma Lachzos Benoam Ad Hashem Levaker Beicholo. He's looking forward to that. You see, I mean, that's what he's looking forward to. But a person has to be in a certain mood for that. And Chazal said that the joke places him in that mood, because the joke removes him from all the ambitious drives and the pain that attends that kind of a state, you see, and it gives him a freedom, you see. But that freedom, if it's just that freedom and it's not going anywhere else, so that's just the frustration, because in a moment he's back to he's just countering the force. But here it's the release of the energy, the knocking down of the chains of the ambitious drive, and the release of the energy, and a propulsion of that energy into the enjoyment of the perception of the real world, of the world of Chachma. That is a totally harmonious phenomenon, psychological phenomenon. That's what Chazal is saying. And I can't use, because expectation is always tied to an ambitious drive. You know, you get to a point where you can't use lay terms that are intrinsically tied to phenomena of the masses of people that have nothing to do with this kind of experience. All these cases are describing the same underlying phenomena. The same thing the Rambam describes. That's Simcha Shel Tachas Shel Levav Hashem L'Kevav B'Simcha V'Tov. That's a Simcha Shel Mitzvah. That's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. And yeah. I tell you, see, Chazal are not talking about how short-lived or not. That's a separate question. That's a question of perfection. That's a measure of perfection. A measure of perfection, like the Rambam says in the beginning of the Mora. How often, the perfection of a human being can be summarized, so to speak, in a way, in how often the various states occur to them in their life. You know what I mean? That's a different thing. Of course, a higher person will be more often in the state of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. That's the perfect, more perfected state. But Chazal aren't talking about that. They're talking about the mechanism and the idea of how it works. That's what the analysis of it. Not who's greater or who's smaller. That's just, that doesn't do this. Okay, I would add one more thing. You see, and the idea, because I know it's a tough idea, but what I would say is like this to grasp it how it works psychologically. But I would say this: how it works psychologically is obviously a very deep subject. But one thing I think we could shed a little light on it in this way: that you see when Chazal, when they went through those various states, so one of them was Sicha. You know, and I mentioned, what does that have to do with the social? Because the social gives a person a sense, most people in the self-worth, you see. In the state of Simcha Shel Mitzvah, the self-worth comes from the perception of reality. See? Mm-hmm. The perception of the real framework of reality is the thing that gives the person the genuine self-worth. That's a different kind of a self-worth. In Yedias Hashem, the person can be Anochi off of a Efer, but that's not worthlessness, you see, because he's subsumed under the real framework, you see. So it's a sense of Anochi off of a Efer is zero ambition, but 100% worthiness. You see, it's a different kind of a state. So that is why the psychological energies for the ambitious are satisfied, not through an artificial kind of a sense of accomplishment, but through a deep sense of reality and the worthiness from that stems from him, his recognition of what he really is as a Yotzor. You see, that's a different kind of a different sense of security. Okay.